You ever heard the phrase, "I'm not religious, I'm spiritual"? Perhaps you've even uttered those words yourself. What do they mean? What are we saying when we say that? Are we saying that I don't get into all of the ritual? And indeed, when it comes to things that are religious, there is ritual. Even for churches like ours, which are not terribly high up the ritualistic scale. But still, there are things to be expected. I mean, when newcomers come into our church, you know, there is a way that things are done. And there are places that people sit. And, well, I won't go any further down that road. Is that what we're saying when we say, "I'm not really religious, though"? Are we saying that this whole church thing sometimes is fraught with real difficulties? You know, I know my one sister could say that phrase. He would think back and remember growing up in the church. And for her, unlike me and my other sister, church was not a friendly place. And then later on, after she had left it and gone through some struggles and then again was finding her way again, she got back involved in church and ran into that same problem. Being in church involves dealing with people. And in that, we're at, you know. Is that what we're saying when we say, "I'm not religious, I'm spiritual"? Because religious involves people. And people can be a real problem. You know, sometimes we say, we talk about, you know, if it weren't for God's people, I could believe. You know, sometimes as I look out at the Christian landscape, I wonder, because I see a lot of very judgmental people out there. And I struggle with that. What does that mean? I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. You know, this is not a brand new statement, you know. You know, back when our denomination came into being, there were a bunch of people who were feeling the same way, you know, about church and about ritual and about people. And they decided that, you know, this whole ritual church thing was deadening to the spirit. And so they backed away. Of course, that back then it wasn't as easy to back away. You actually had to be somewhere where you could back away. And they ended up in a place called, you've heard, Schwarzenau. And it was an area that had a little bit of tolerance. There were a lot of people there that I guess the name we give them now are radical pietists. You know, a nice name, just basically spiritual people. They ran the gamut. And among them were some persons like a fellow by the name of Alexander Mack and John Knoth and some others, their wives and stuff. Just a small group. And they began studying the Bible. And they just couldn't shake that religious thing, that church thing. And so they decided, you know, when they, you heard about, you know, we celebrated a few years back the celebration of the beginnings of our church when they stepped into the water and baptized one another. And that was an act not just of choosing Christ, each individual person, but creating church. And there are a lot of people in that area who thought that was ridiculous what they did, because church is for the birds. There's a group there, especially, I guess they called themselves the Community for True Inspiration. Community of True Inspiration. And they, like our brethren ancestors, eventually emigrated from that point. And they ended up in the New World. And you have heard of this other group, just like you know of our group. They first started out and started kind of a colony in New York, and then they ended up out in the fields of Iowa. And we know them today. Well, we don't know them, but we know what came out of them. It was the manna colonies. And what do we know a manna for? Refrigerators, microwaves. But do we know of the spiritual movement behind? I'm not religious. I'm spiritual. I imagine there were probably some folks in the church in Corinth who said exactly the same thing. Just like there were those who were saying other stuff. I mean, they argued over this stuff. I could imagine this group to be a very disagreeable bunch. You know, you read through the story and it sounds like some churches I have served. They were divided in a lot of different directions. You know, they divided over their, you know, who made what. Does that sound familiar? They divided over who had what particular spiritual gift even. They divided over what teacher they were looking up to. They divided up over doctrine. They disagreed a huge amount. The Apostle Paul, these words are words of frustration in some ways. As he's talking to them. And I imagine that when he is talking about, you know, you need to eat the food that infants eat. You need to nurse it in your mother's breast. You're not ready for solid food. I imagine he's not saying that kindly. Do you know, I was thinking about this morning, about how that image is a comforting image. You know, this image of being at our mother's breast. That can be a good thing, to get back to the essentials, to get back to what we need. I mean, a lot of us long for that kind of holding, but life doesn't stay there. We long for that sense of intimacy with God, because that is what we're talking about. God as a nursing mother. But a child doesn't stay an infant. A child grows. And our life in the Spirit is about growing. Now, one of my frustrations with this passage is that the Apostle Paul, as he's writing, he's just bopping from metaphor to metaphor. You know, how he goes from a mother's breast to talking about a farmer. I mean, that's what we're saying. He talks about the development of a human child and then jumps over into planting and watering and growing. That's probably wise that he did that, because I was just thinking, with this one metaphor of a mother's breast, where does he go with that? I mean, is he talking about himself and Apollos being two key leaders in that church? Paul being the one who came among them and shared the good news and kind of got them going, and then Apollos came later along with other people. You know, how is he supposed to take this metaphor to go from here? I mean, is he supposed to say, okay, well, I was the dad and Apollos was the mom? He goes and shifts the metaphor over to growth, over to agriculture, from human development to plant development. But it's the same point. We don't stay a seed. We continue to grow. We continue to grow. That's something the folks in Corinth had a hard time dealing with. They thought they had made it. As the Apostle Paul nailed them with, you know, even with all your spiritual gifts. And I mean, this church, Corinth, was spiritually alive. They weren't a dead church. They were alive in the Spirit. And yet Paul was getting across this, you're just a seed. You're still at your mother's breast. You still need growth. And part of that growth, and later on he would talk and there and elsewhere about fruit. Things that come into being. You know, that's fruit. We don't necessarily apply that to a child growing up. A child, when we're developing, we don't grow nice and tall and our arms, you know, kind of grow up and we bear apples or whatever. But thinking of ourselves in terms of agriculture, Paul talks elsewhere about fruits of the Spirit. And those lists, hopefully you have some of those memorized in your head. What are some of the fruit of the Spirit? Folks, just share with me. What are the fruits of the Spirit? What's the first one that... Love, of course. Love, joy, peace, patience. Say it. Kindness, goodness, self-control. Okay, there's even more on that list, but all sorts of them. And these are things that grow. And, you know, they don't start out this big, you know. They start out little, but they grow on us. And that's, I think, an important thing to be said the day before Valentine's Day. That we don't start out here. Whether we're talking about relationship between, you know, husband and wife or whatever, or whether we're talking about friendships or whatever, we don't start there. But we grow. We develop. Now, looking ahead to next week, it's interesting how, you know, I said Paul shifts metaphors left and right. Did you catch? He shifts from the first paragraph here in my Bible, the first paragraph where he's talking about the human development and a child, and then he shifts over into talking about agriculture. And at the end there, did you see the next shift that he's making? He compares us to what? Anybody catch that? Let me read that last verse again. For we are God's servants working together. You are God's field, God's building. What? He shifts it again on us. So we don't get stuck. So we don't get stuck. Yeah, we are religious. Because our faith involves some ritual, indeed, but that's not the end point. It's just a step along the way. And yes, it involves people. In fact, can we be spiritual without involving other people? And I would say, and the Apostle Paul would say, and this book would say, no. We are spiritual together.